faith for next levels. This is the this message came because I noticed that there's still one aspect in my life that I haven't experienced promotion yet, and I said, God, no, this time next year, I must be able to give testimony to the fact that I have passed, I've been promoted, and I've been promoted and I've experienced going up to the next level. So that's why I say, you know, nice message to wrap up the year, because this time next year, you must not be the same way you are right now. And you decide where you want to be this time next year, and then you walk towards it. Amen. But then to help you, because there's no point saying, this time next year, I want to have my house. This time next year, I want my first brand new car. No. Let's give you the steps that you can take that would guarantee that whatever it is you have set as your target for this time next year, four steps. You do those four steps, it's guaranteed you will get it. Let's start in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The first step we need to take, all four steps, we can find it in the story of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17. If we make it slightly interactive, we read this portion. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, who knows what the first step is? The first step that you have to. Should I help you? If you read the story of David and Goliath, you get to a point, the Bible says, and David said. And then when you read further, but David said. You read further down, moreover, David said. And you read down a bit again, it says, and David said. And then finally, where is it? Then finally in verse 45, it starts by saying, then David said. First step, you have to say it. You have to say it. David said it five times, but I love what he said in verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. No wonder a youth, who's 17 years, 17, any 17 year old here? Okay, yeah, nearly 17-ish. Yeah. Imagine Sean. And then, what's it called? Bible scholars have not yet, they've not agreed on how tall this guy was. They're putting it at, is it 9 feet? It's between 9 and 11 feet. Ha! Now, first of all, seasoned warriors. David's three brothers were part of the people that were afraid. The Bible even said, Saul, King Saul, his knees were shaking because of this tall and big man. But David saw through him. He said, he's uncircumcised. He has no covenant with God. Besides, he's not defying the God, the Lord, or he's not defying the God of Israel. He saw him as a beast. Because he told Saul, the same way lion came, tried to take one sheep. I chased after the lion, took the sheep out of his mouth. He tried to attack me. I ripped him apart, killed him there and there. The same way that happened, I would do the same to this man. There was something David knew. He knew his victory was in the fact that he's going against that tall giant in the name of the Lord. Let's find it. You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you, And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines. So it's not just him. It's not just Goliath. He went beyond Goliath. And all your army, this day, we're going to feed them. Yeah. And then he carries on. He says, carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He knew. He had to know. Besides, he's the one that wrote, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You are with me. So he knew that tall Philistine who had another man had to carry his shield. Nothing. You have, as far as I'm concerned, you have crossed the line, no return. One, you have no covenant with the living God, and two, you're not defying that same one. Today. And of course, small boy ran. He didn't wait. He ran towards him. Historians said, because part of their armor is a helmet. So question, how did the stone, or are we saying, because we can, are we saying that the stone penetrated the helmet to lodge itself in the head of Goliath? Historians said, as David ran towards him and swung his sling, he laughed, ha, 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 ha. So the helmet went up, and then the stone lodged in. And watch this. This guy did not have a sword. But he said, then David said, and take your head from you. He didn't have sword, though. But the same sword, the same weapon your enemy uses against you, if you know who you are and whose you belong, that same weapon will be the same weapon you will use to destroy your enemy. Because it is Goliath's sword that David used to take his head off. But he said it. He said it. Now, because we have to be very cautious. Why? Where did that come from? How was he able to be that bold? Because people say talk is cheap, and talk is cheap. We just talk. But he meant what he said. Where did it come from? Where? Because once you realize that, okay, when I know what moved David to be that bold to say what he said, I just need to repeat it. I read through this, and what comes to my heart is honor. Honor. David knew God, one. Two, he had enough honor. This guy is defying the God of Israel. No, if nobody, even the king, is not going to do anything, I know who he is. And because of who he is, I will. And then he said, and then he did it. Amen. I love that part that the Bible says, Goliath fell face down. David ran and stood on him. Get to a point, you stand on the same problem. The same problem that the devil thought he could use to crush you. You stand on it. Let him know, listen, you're under my feet. Let me read. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let me read something in Ephesians. Even though I pray it every day, I can just... No, Ephesians, Paul's first prayer to the Ephesian church. Today, read it. Don't read. No. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Mr. O doesn't know where Ephesians is. Okay. Is it after Galatians? Oh, you guys are blessed. You have yours on the phone. Just need to scroll and get to Ephesians. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm going to go straight to where Mr. O, use your reading glasses. Keep your hand. Now it's very clear now. Where am I going to go to? Yeah, Ephesians. I'm looking for the verse. Okay. Okay, let's start from 20. Which he worked in Christ, so his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now watch this. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put how many things? How many things? Under his feet. Now watch this. And gave him to be head over how many things? All things to the. So the church, if you made him head, that means the church is the body, isn't it? Where's the feet? Where's your feet? It's not a trick. Where's your foot? In your body. So that same problem the devil has orchestrated, it looks real. It's stressing you. That same problem he has come against you with, you get to put, you stand on it. Stand on it. He then took the sword out and then did what he said. Step two, do it. So step one, in honor of who God is to you, say what you are going to do. Say it. In 2023, I will never miss one tithe. I will tithe the whole year. And then do it. That's step two. Do it. Now, it's clearer in the story of the woman who had issue of blood. But step three is receive it. Receive it. He cuts this man's head up and he lifted it up. Say, yes, I've done it. I've done it. I've done it. And then, of course, step four, go and tell it. So step one, say it. Step two, do it. Step three, receive it. And then step four, tell it. It becomes clearer in the story of the woman who had issue of blood. So if you turn with me to Mark chapter 5. It's in Mark chapter 5. Mark's Gospel chapter 5. And if we start reading from 25. So Mark 5, 25. It says, now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus. That is where her miracle started. Because there was something she heard. Unfortunately, the Bible doesn't record what was told. But whatever she heard was enough for her to say what she was going to do. Whatever she heard. Because she had spent all her money. Physician could not help her. They even left her worse. But somehow, somebody came to tell her, have you heard of this Jesus? He's healing any kind. He's healing. Blind are seeing, lame are walking. And just one word. And that was enough. That was enough. So before you say it, meditate on God's word. Remember? Yes, thank you, Jesus. Was it Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones? Ezekiel, yes. I love Ezekiel. When I get to heaven, I say, thank you very much for what you did. Because God asked him, can these dry bones live? The bones are not asking. He said, thou knowest. He said, thou knowest. God knows what you need to say to put you over whatever you're going through. So, inquire of him. Meditate on God's word. One of the benefits of meditating on God's word is eventually you will know what you have to say. Yeah, because Jesus said, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and then turn. You meditate on God's word to the point that you understand. And when you understand, you will know what to say. This woman, she heard something about Jesus. And bear in mind, she risked her life. She was not meant to be out in public. She didn't say, oh God, send your son to my house so that I can just touch. No. She knew, okay, This is my ticket to getting healed. And the Amplified doesn't say what. The Amplified sheds light. It says, for she. Okay, who has Amplified, please? Amplified. Can you please read? If you have Amplified, can you please read, Mr. Oh, where am I? Verse 28. Somebody with Amplified, verse 28. Nobody with Amplified. Oh, if your phone should have different. Oh, Mr. O, I have it here. I have my E. And then, where is it? Mark 5:5. And then if I go all the way down to 28. Oh, I'm still in New King James, Mr. O. You need Amplified. Amplified. And then verse 28. For she kept saying. She kept saying. She kept saying. She, New King James says, for she said. So there's that implication that she only said it once. She knew that her ticket is Jesus. She heard something. So she said only once. No. For she kept saying. And then when you go to who took over from Moses? Joshua. When you go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe. That you may observe. So you're saying, you're meditating is so that you may do something. So she kept saying it until, yes, let's go and find this man. She kept saying it. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Said it. Only God knows how long. Even if she said it for 3 days, it was well worth it. Because eventually, she had the boldness to risk her life, go out in public, find the man Jesus. There was a crowd. That did not even discourage her. She pressed her way through to do what she said she was going to do. And she touched the hem of his garment and she felt. She felt it. I strongly believe that's when she received it. But the Bible says she felt that the fountain of blood dried up. And all of a sudden, just, ha! Because, you know, the Bible says, for Jesus knew power, virtue had flowed out of him. He said, hey, come on, stop. Who touched me? Who touched me? Amen. Praise God. And then when she could no longer be hid, she had to come out and say, well, and then she told it. So step one, you say it. Step two, you do it. Step three, receive it. Now, question. How do you receive? How do you receive? That's it, because you need to help me. Because pastors and preachers say, you have to receive by faith. Receive by faith. Uncle, teach me. How do I receive now? So how do we receive? Okay, I'll give you the story. I'm sure you've heard of Kenneth Hagin. Anybody heard of Kenneth Hagin? Bedfast for 16 months. And then he's been meditating on Mark 11, 22 to 25. He has been meditating on it. So one glorious morning, he decides to say, I know I am healed. Because the Bible says, by his stripes, I am healed. And I've been made whole. So I know I'm healed. And the voice answered him, stand up. If you are healed, then stand up now. And this is a person. So according to him, in his testimony, hair down, he had not used it for 16 months. So he mustered the little strength that was left in him. He said, okay, at the start, he from neck down, no motion. But then eventually, he started gaining use of his hand. And then, joking, he said he never used the fork. Because he could now use his hand, he stopped his mom feeding him. So he started feeding himself. And he said he never used a fork so that he wouldn't just stab himself by mistake. And sometimes he picks with a spoon and then... Instead of entering the mouth, he flings it. But you know, eventually had some use. So that day when I strongly believe that was God. That was God talking to him. You see, he stand up now. So with all the might in him, he dragged himself down. And if someone has not, he said, if someone has been bedfast for that long, all of a sudden he said the room was spinning. You know, he was about to pass out. So he just closed his eyes and held on to the post of the bed. And then because he had no strength in his legs, he started sliding down. And then all of a sudden, from nowhere, but then he now, because after a long time, and after he studied the woman with the issue of blood, he realized that was God through him. All of a sudden, he said, I want to announce to, there was nobody there. I want to announce to anybody or everybody that's in this room or in this town that according to Mark 11, verse 23, by the blood of, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. So therefore, I declare myself healed. But he was still sliding down. And then he said, I believe I receive healing in my body right now. And that is when the power of God, according to him, it started from his head like someone pouring oil on him, flew all the way down, and as that glow was flowing down, he started he could use anything. He, on to the point that he could grab the pole, stand on his 2 feet, and then he raised his hand to heaven and gave God praise. He said, I believe I receive. That is how you receive. You say it. Because if it was physical, for example, now, Sean, I'm giving you my car. Here are the keys. Physically, that's how to receive. Because if I say, yes, I'm giving my car, here are my keys, and just look at me, would you ever get the car? No. Yeah, so physically, that's how I'm collecting my car back. Yeah, praise God. Physically, that's how you receive. But to receive spiritual things, you have to say it. You have to say it. And for you to have the confidence and the boldness to say it, this has to be a major part of your life. Because the answer to that question, the solution to that problem is written. And until you find it and make it a part of you, and you can be that bold, hey, debt, £100,000. You know what? You can't crush me. You speak to it. Because that lovely song we sang, I eat my fill from the abundance of your household. That should not just be a song we sing. That should be your reality. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then you say it. Speak to the credit card. Credit card. Speak to it, credit card, back to zero. Now, in the name of Jesus, you speak. Because God is waiting on you so that you can do what you are going to say. Say it. Oh, isn't that kind of crazy? You just talk to credit card. To you, it's crazy. But the moment, and then, because, it's, you've honored God to that point where you've meditated on it's an issue in your life, and you want the solution. You don't just want to patch it up. What's it called? Jesse DePlantis says some people like to own the mountain. They do their best to own a mountain, climb all the way to the top. When God is saying, you can speak to it and say, get out. Because he says, whosoever should say to this mountain. And I'm sure the day Jesus said it, there was a mountain there. Because he didn't say, whosoever said to a mountain. No, he said, whoever said to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. I shall not doubt, but believe. Kenneth Hagin said, if he was there in the crowd, he would have said it. Mountain? Jesus just said, mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. Amen. Praise God. But you have to. And then the moment you start saying things like credit card balance return to zero, you are no longer speaking. Listen, I'm not saying go home and start. It starts with knowing what he has said, finding out what he has said concerning that credit card balance. And And when you get to that point where you now know, because God then told Ezekiel, now say to the dry bones, gave him the exact words to say. And before Ezekiel finished speaking, what he said started coming, started happening. So you inquire, you spend time with God to find out what to say. And if God is saying, say to that critical, because what your critical, okay, your limit is 2,500. You've used 1,000. What do you want? What do you want? You want to keep paying interest? What do you want? You wanted to come back to zero, isn't it? Yeah, there you go. And if so be it, that's what God wants you to say. The moment you say it, you are no longer speaking in your own authority. You are no longer speaking in your authority. God, in the word that you have said, will now do the works. But mind you, the woman with the issue of blood, yes, it will come to time where what you say becomes very effective, because over time, you have been saying it, meditating, doing. Because it comes to a point you become confident with what. Yes, it comes time. You just say it once and happens. You're at work and someone says, oh, I have this bad headache that doesn't want to go. I say, oh, do you mind if I pray for you? And the guy says, huh? Oh, well, it's not going to hurt. Headache, go! You don't say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe. Hello. You've been doing it over time. The pain comes. Get out. It gets a point. You become that confident. You become that effective, that efficient. Head they go. So, oh, it's gone. Yeah. Because God is waiting on you to say it. And more over and above, God is waiting on you to spend time with his word. The first mention of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, he was hovering over the waters. And that's the same place you find him today, hovering over the waters. He's the one who inspired everyone who wrote this. He can teach you, but he can teach you exactly what he had in his spirit when he released those words. But the painful thing is, and I'm talking to myself as well, we haven't gotten that place. Some of us haven't gotten that place where we spend quality time. I didn't say quantity. Quality time with God's word. He's just about to, and Pastor Jimmy mentioned it. The Holy Spirit said, this man has been studying, or this woman has been studying for the past 45 minutes. Wow. And then there's 203 different things that you could be doing. Just as about, he's about to come on. Tell you or open your eye or unveil something. You just remember, oh, I have to start to wash. Oh, I have to start preparing the children's lunch. Oh my God. I need to send this email. It's not just you. And you have to appreciate where that is coming from, because the devil knows. The devil knows. The moment you become a professor, you know, so we have lecturers, pastor. What's the hierarchy? You have lecturers, you have... it's not lecturer to professor. Isn't there anything in between? No, graduate. Okay, so... But most of us, we are just lecturer. We just come in, people, or we read the daily devotion. And nothing wrong with daily devotion, don't get me wrong. Yeah, but because the devil knows, he knows that he has been defeated. He knows it. He knew Job was surrounded by God. Job didn't know. This is a man that would offer sacrifices once in a while. I heard a man of God say, if Job knew, and those sacrifices, he knew what he was doing. The moment, you won't even wait for the first bad report. Oh, my children are meeting together. Father, the covering that you have put over me, I put it over them as well. I said, he has shot the devil out. I shot him out. The devil knows. And that's why he will, you're busy now. Let pastor do all of that. You have to, you have to make your first 1 million. You have to turn over your first million. Let pastor get the revelation, then go on a Sunday and then listen to. He knows. He knows the day you become a professor. The day God's word becomes life to you. he has lost. And then from then on, he will try to make you not to say things. Because he goes, ha, this one should talk. Whatever he says happens. So it's our duty now to do whatever it takes to make sure that his tactic of not allowing us to spend quality time and quality consistent. I've managed to, it took a while, but I've managed to train my body. It wakes up at 5:30. 5:30. 5:30. So consistently, if you want to find Mr. O, 5:30 a.m. morning, somewhere downstairs, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. So it is quality consistent. Even if it's 30 minutes every day, make sure. See, Father, this is your time. What, wherever 6 o'clock meets me every morning, it must be in that my prayer closet praying. And 30 minutes, it will get to a point. Now, my body wakes up 5. I say, sleep now. Sleep 30 minutes. It gets to a point when you are faithful with your quality consistent. It will become 30 minutes. Okay, I dare you. Or here's a guarantee. If you can do it, for 6 months, quality consistent, faithful to quality consistent. After 6 months, that 30 minutes, because whoever is faithful in little becomes faithful in the more. Before you know, that 30 minutes now become an hour. And to be honest, that's all. Because what did Jesus say? Could you not tarry with me for an hour? Gloria Copeland. You want to know where she started? She started 1 hour every day. 1 hour every day. And then she was in a meeting with Kenneth Hagin. And Kenneth Hagin said, a lot of us, you know, the word has started working and I am now lukewarm. I said, how did this man know that this is my life? Because that's the truth. Yeah, the word of God was working for them. They were prospering. And then she grasped an understanding of divine healing. She was operating in divine health at that time. But all of a sudden, it wasn't like she was sinning. It was just that, doesn't pray today. She let it slide. She doesn't read the Bible today. She doesn't slide. And then when Kenneth Hagin said that thing, when it was a prophecy, he said, that's me. And that was winter. So she said, waking up, of course, winter. Who wants to wake up early? Your body doesn't want to wake up. Your body wants to go under the duvet. And then let me crack some joke. Mr. O, at the start, I will be fooling myself. I'll be wrapped under the duvet with Le Predebuco. Before you know it, Mr. O, I slept. But now I stand up, I go downstairs. Yeah. Stand up, I go downstairs. Yeah. 1 hour every day. That's how she started. 1 hour every day. You get to that point where God knows he has an appointment with you every day between this time. Yes, just to give you disclaimer. Yes, you will. When it starts, yes, sometimes you wake up. Because God will be faithful to wake you up. I don't use alarm anymore. And I heard that from Kenneth Hagin. Why am I using alarm when the God of heaven is the one is it the alarm that made me sleep? No, it was God that blessed me with sleep. So the same God that blessed me with sleep would wake me up when he needs me to wake up. 5:30, body's woke, I'm up. You know? 1 hour, do it. When God knows he can, he has an appointment with you to start off 30 minutes. And that 30 minutes, whatever happens, you are always faithful to be there. When you start opening the Bible to study, like, this one is now somebody I can entrust some things with. Amen. And then and that is the link to knowing what to say, to do it, to be able to receive it, and then you'll be able to come here and tell all of us so that we go, so this thing works. Yes, it works. The power, you see, now, if I should put my finger inside this, what's going to happen? I'll be executed. Because there's power. But if I connect and I don't switch on, would it work? No. The power of God is everywhere. The power of God is everywhere. He's not hiding it. And then, you see, it says, according to the mighty power which you worked when you raised Christ from the dead. When God accomplished that mission, what did he do with that power? Did he say, okay, mission accomplished, power, come back to heaven? What did he do with that power? He left it here. He left it here. And the moment a boy, girl, man, woman says, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, that power now becomes resident in that person's spirit, waiting for it to be harnessed with the word of God, waiting for it, waiting for you to now know how to talk. Because some of us, if God should turn up the power to maximum, imagine what some of you do between here and home. That driver that cuts in front of you, instead of you honing, you say, get out. Or you get a traffic light, say, why do you always turn red when I come here? Imagine. So that power now becomes resident in you, waiting for you to harness it with prayer and with God's word, and waiting for you to be responsible with what you say. Because you can't have that power turned up and you're saying, my feet are killing me. Okay, let's, thinks he wants to die. Let's kill him. Or you're tickling me to death. No, you can't. Oh, I'm broke just because 3 more days to salary and there's no money. You say, amen. Hallelujah. That power God used to raise Jesus from the dead is resident. If you're born again, is resident in you now. Waiting for you to harness it. Harness it. And then waiting for you to become responsible with what you say. And also waiting for you to teach yourself to be sensitive to God. Jesus said, I only say what I see the Father do. You get to that point where you're sensitive. You know he is with you. And when you say, in Jesus' name I pray, he doesn't, okay, bye. Bye, son. Bye, daughter. I'll see you next time we come up. No, he's still there. He's still with you. You have ended the prayer and think, okay, yes, I'm leaving my prayer closet. You didn't leave God in your prayer closet. God is with you everywhere you go. Becoming sensitive. Sensitive to God. Amen. So that all of a sudden, he can now use you to ensure that his will, as it is done in heaven, is now become done on earth in your life. Hallelujah. Have you learned something this morning? Praise God. Stand to your feet and give God all the praise.